Good morning. It feels so good for life to be getting back more to normal. And I understand the reason why we had the bread and bags for a long time, but it was nice that we're past that today. It was nice also yesterday with the Wilsons moving and the Cossacks moving, getting together with brethren and doing moving together. That's one thing I've missed. It's, as Christians, our primary obligation is to our God. And our worship together and focusing on God is primary. But hugely important is our associations with each other. And if the only time we see each other is here, we're missing out on a whole lot. And over the years, I don't know how many times we've moved different people into a house or out of a house or type of things, but those are always good times, valuable times, in that people are getting to spend time together working on other things besides spiritual things, but it's part of our life together in Christ. It's just nice for things to be getting back to normal in that. And if you haven't kept up with the news, the PA Department of Health's mandate rule ends at 1 minute after midnight tonight. So that's another way life is getting back to normal. In the meantime, be respectful of other people's health concerns and such, and be considerate. But it's just nice to see things getting back to normal. Although that includes Betty and Percy will be heading out to Colorado, which is one of the more beautiful states in the Union, and they have been here for many, many, many years. I guess perhaps longer than anybody else. Wilson, Percy, which of you were here first?
Percy.
Percy. So I guess Betty and Percy are the longest standing members here, and we wish them well. Our text in a few minutes is going to be Psalm 8. There's a few things I want to say first, and then we'll be getting into Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and talking about perspective. I want to share a few things first. I want to thank you for the time together that we've had here. It's been really beneficial to us. And I want to give a little bit of history and background as in how this has been beneficial and different from us from most of the works that we've done. So I started teaching when I was 18 and started preaching when I was 19. And one of the first places I went was Haiti. And then I was looking for a partner because the type of work I was interested in doing was going and doing planting work where a church needed to be planted, or to find a few saints that needed someone to help there and go do that. And that's what I was interested in doing. And I remember talking with a couple of friends of mine about it at the time and thinking about different locations and such. One of them, sadly, has left the faith. The other, I'm glad to say, just a few years ago, he and another friend of mine went and did a planting work. We didn't get to do it together, but I'm glad for the work he's done. But then when I was 21 and had just finished school, I got an invitation from a church in North Alabama, which is where I'm from, and they asked me to work there. And I thought, well, it would be good to be in a located, stable, existing work that'll help me, benefit me for a while. There'd be some older preachers around. There's lots of older preachers around North Alabama. It's just across the river from Athens, Alabama, where I've always said, you can't throw rocks in Athens without hitting brethren. They're just everywhere. But I thought, yeah, well, I'll go there for a little bit, and then I wanted to do this other thing. And we ended up staying there for a while. That's where April was born, toward the end of that. But I kept looking and looking and looking for a partner. And then in 1985, my brother Jeff said, I'll go. And so he announced at Thayer Street that they'd be leaving, and I announced it there in Decatur that I'd be leaving the next year. And then we started looking and planning for a place to go. And so we chose Providence, Rhode Island. And we knew that Haven and Carol Starr were there and had been traveling out of state. And we went there and helped them as we planted the work in Rhode Island. And I really enjoyed that. And then a few years later, I went. There was a group of people that had just started meeting a few months before in a little church down in South Carolina, and I was kind of tired of the cold. And but I liked that type of work, so I went there. And about 9 months later, the Berlin Wall was opened up. And I was over here in New Jersey, and I said, somebody needs to go over there. And Bill Eccles, who some of you will know, said, why don't you? And so I thought, yeah, I should. So I did. And it took a few months to get there, but we went on an exploratory trip a few months after the wall was opened up. And then in 91, my family and I moved, and we moved to Prague and helped with others in the area. They helped plant the work there in Prague. After that, I came back for a little bit to South Carolina, and there was interest in Prague for me to come back to Prague, and I went back to Prague. The second year was a lot harder, and I was a bit burnt out. And toward the end of it, a friend of mine, David Hartzell, who some of you will know, advised me to, and I declined some invitations, ended up declining some invitations to go down south, but he encouraged me to go to a place where there was an established existing work and do something different for a while, because that's mostly just what I'd been doing. And I got the invitation to talk to you brethren here at Gettysburg. Now at that time, it would have been Percy and Betty were here, and of course the Legs were here, the Beesecker's were here, the Borings were here, the Bishops were here, and of course Lisa and Cindy were here, and Scott was here. Y'all weren't married yet, but Scott was here, and younger Scott was a younger Scott. There he is. Some of you might have been in that meeting where I was asked, you know, how long would you be willing to stay? And I said, 2 years. And because I was used to moving quickly, I'd get kind of bored with a thing and then want to go do another thing and another thing. But I noticed something during that time. I noticed that the work in Prague benefited from Mike Morrow staying there. And I noticed that the work in Providence had benefited from Jeff, my brother, staying there. And so I started thinking, instead of just, you know, doing this all the time, I thought, and plus, I just loved being here. And I realized one of the reasons I chose to came here and not go south was, one, I've always been interested in that type of thing, but also I saw that this would be a good place to raise my kids. And I just thank you for that. This was a wonderful place to raise my kids. And it's, we've got a number of kids here now, and I suspect and hope there will be a number of kids coming up soon. But the I remember when we built the building, we had 70-something kids here at the time. And that was a really exciting time. And it's really nice that some of those kids are still here, but now they're grown up and adults. And some of those have come back. But it's also exciting how some of those are out other places doing kingdom work in other places. And that's really wonderful. And Alyssa mentioned statistics during class. Statistically, we've had just a large percentage of really quality young people come out of this congregation. It's always been one of the exciting things. And so I thank you for your time in that. When we came here, none of my kids had any memory of worshiping at a place where there was already a church building, there were already pews, and there were classes for all ages instead of just like, you know, one or two classes with some bunch together. And that was really valuable experience. But then a few years ago, I realized that my last three kids had only had that. And it was really valuable for the other kids who've been involved in planting works. And that's one of the reasons why we went to Philadelphia to plan a new work over there back in 2014. And that gave an opportunity for my older, younger three kids to be involved in the type of work that my older three had been in, but the younger three hadn't. And I enjoyed that. And then in 2016, I guess, I baptized Audrey, who is Tony DiPriccio's mother, and I found out she was blind, but was interested in the Bible, and I offered to study with her, and she called the next day and she said yes. And then she was baptized, and that led to the work in Harrisburg. That's is where we'll be this week, working full-time up there. As you know, I've been involved there part-time since the beginning, but we'll start being there full-time this coming week. But thank you for the time that we've had together. Out of 42 years of preaching, most of it I have spent here. And so it will always be the place where I spent more time than any one other place, unless I stay in Harrisburg till I'm well into my 80s. So we'll see if that happens or not. And I can't begin to thank you for all of the wonderful things that you have done for me and my family, and for your examples and your just the good that you've done and working together and all of that. I won't try to single out people. I won't try to single out events, but thank you very much. And I'm glad that we are leaving also, as I see momentum going on right now. One thing, just the reduction in COVID numbers has meant, and the ballot initiatives have meant that things are changing now more quickly, and that's very helpful. Last Sunday, we had the biggest attendance we've had here in a long, long time, and that was exciting to see. And the baptism this week, and get to know this young lady. I remember talking to her before COVID and just about a stand she was taking at school and just being willing to stand up and do the right things. And I appreciate that, and I admire that. And congratulations on your decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Paula has just been such an encouragement and a great example in her turning and deciding to, I just want to follow the Word of God. And now with Ben and Nikitai coming into the area, and now with the mandates and stuff ending, there's going to be more and more opportunities to be doing more and more things. So you've got, and in all the marriages, there's just a lot of momentum for y'all to build on right now and do that. And there's one other thing I want to say before the sermon. I'm sorry for using up so much time here, but there's several things I want to say. I thought about preaching today from Acts 20, Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders, but I'm not going to for several reasons, because when I read this, I just don't match up to Paul. So I will use his verse 32, but there's just so many differences between me and Paul, it doesn't fit. One of them is where he said in verse 25, I know I'm not going to see your face anymore. Well, that just doesn't apply at all. I still live here in Arntsville. I've also picked up a little place up in Enola for being able to have people over there and have a base like that. But we'll be seeing each other. If we can get sports night going again, I'm probably going to be there as well. See you at your fall meeting, different things. And so it's not at all like we're not going to see each other's face. But also, and so I want to make some apologies here. He says just a number of things that I've just never measured up to. And he accomplished so much more in 3 years than I could do a fraction of in 26. But some of the things he says, like in verse 19, serving the Lord with all lowliness of mind. And I've tried to do that, but I've not always succeeded in doing that. And sometimes that has not been, I've not always been lowliness in, enough in mind. And I'm sorry about that. He said, with tears. And I've shed tears for y'all, but not enough. And he said, and the trials, and he said, shrink not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable. He said that twice. Shrinking from declaring anything that was profitable. And often I've done that, and I thought, this needs to be said, and I would say it. But sometimes I would shrink, and I would say, oh, that probably ought to be said, but then I didn't say it. And that's not what preaching's about. You got to use wisdom, you got to use discretion. But there are times that I shrink. And he says, he talked about teaching publicly from house to house. I've done both those. But he also talks about, verse 31. I cease not to admonish everyone night and day with tears. And I've let too many hours slip by and failed to be productive too often. And I apologize for that. I think we accomplished a lot of things together, but we could have and should have more if I had been more productive in these type of things and just made better use of time and sometimes better use of tears and sometimes better willing to say things, et cetera, that needed to be said. So that's why I'm not going to be preaching from Acts 20, but I will read verse 32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And I commend you as well to that. For our lesson today, and I'll say this. I am, because this is one other thing here I had in my notes. One of the reasons also that I'm transitioning is over the years, when we were here longer. Other places, we were there briefer. When I was here, it's been a different type of work. It's a rural work. Usually, I've been in a bigger city. And when I'm in a big city, I can do street work. I've done door knocking in Gettysburg, and sometimes we've had people come as a result of door knocking or be baptized as a result of door knocking. But one of the problems in door knocking is that you are inherently kind of invading somebody's space. And so you're not starting off on a real good, it's like, knock, knock. Oh, who is that? I've done it. I'm sure I'll do it more, but it's a little difficult. In an urban setting, I can be out on the street, and it's a public street. I'm not knocking on their door. And they can walk right by, as many do. They cannot make eye contact, as many do, but others will stop and talk. And I'm going to get back doing I've got a new website set up and cards for doing a new four-question survey that I'm going to be starting on this week up there. And just that's the type of work that I can get back into again. Because I've thought about, and usually in urban settings, that's where I get contacts is in street work. I also make a lot of my social contacts at the gym, but the last year and a half, it's just one of my gyms closed down and the other one, you'd go and there'd be hardly anybody there. And so that's been down. And then also people supplying studies, and often here it was often, we used to have so many homeschool moms. At one point we had, I think, 13 homeschool moms, and a lot of studies were coming from them. Well, a lot of those families are now empty nesters and such, and so some of those source of contacts have been different, but by getting back into an urban work, I'll be able to get back into where I can be making those cold contacts in the street. So I'm looking forward to that. But I thank you for the time together here. And love y'all, and thank you very much. And glad that I'm not having to say I'm not going to see you again. All right, for the lesson today, and I'm going to try to move kind of quickly here because I've used up a good bit of our time. Putting things in perspective. So pretty soon I may rent a little piece of earth moving equipment, and I may rent something about like this. And if I do, I will have fun, because boys like Tonka trucks and different things, and I'll have fun if I can move some dirt around. But that's a pretty pitifully small machine. I think we would all agree that is a big machine, right? I've never gotten to operate anything like that. Last year, working up a Joe's monastery bought, I got to do a little tractor, and that was fun. But this would be really good because, man, that is so big. Or is it? This is, do I need this? Oh. I can't find the Zoom people. Oh, there they are. Okay, now I think we got it.
Actually, this one, sorry.
All right, there we go. All right, so that's a big piece of equipment. Until you see it next to that boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal. You remember when that boat got stuck? That's an excavator pitifully trying to dig out. The point is, how big or significant or large something looks is entirely relative. And that's kind of what Psalm 8 is about. So we're going to be talking about putting things in perspective, especially ourselves. There is a big universe with so many galaxies, and we're in one Milky Way galaxy with so many stars, and we're in one solar system in that. Just the Milky Way galaxy alone is about 100,000 light years, they say, wide. So if you started, if Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos together got their families and built a rocket that managed to go at the speed of light, and they got on it and they started traveling across the Milky Way galaxy at the speed of light, and they got their families on there because they're not going to be able to survive till the end of the journey, so then their descendants and their descendants, after 1,000 years of their descendants going at the speed of light, they would make it 1% across the Milky Way galaxy. And that's just one galaxy in billions. And then in our Earth, in our solar system. So the galaxy, they say, they estimate there's 200 billion to maybe 2 trillion, they don't know, galaxies in the universe. There in our galaxy, the Milky Way, there's our sun is one out of some 200 billion stars. Our Earth is one out of 8 planets. And on that Earth, you are one out of almost 7.9 billion people. So when we look at Psalm 8, it says, this is Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, The work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him? You're one out of 7.9 billion people on this little bitty earth, which is a small planet in this solar system, which just has one sun out of billions and billion billions in this galaxy, in a universe that has who knows how many billion or trillion galaxies in it. What are you? What am I? What is man that God Almighty would be mindful of us? I'm not going to spend time on the galaxy or the universe because it's too big to comprehend anyway. But let's take the one of those that looks maybe manageable. One out of 79 billion, that's a big number. One out of 200 billion, that's a big number. 200 billion, 200 trillion, those are big numbers. One out of eight, we can handle that, okay? Eight, we all know how many, you know, and then Pluto, if you want to count the dwarf planet, be nine. So, all right, we got one eighth of the solar system is right here, right? I want you to just look and think about how minuscule our one eighth is of the solar system. So, if you were like me, when you were a kid, you made a model of the solar system, and it was a very inaccurate model if it was like mine. I had a yellow piece of styrofoam that I painted for the sun, and then, you know, Jupiter was bigger than the Earth, and the sun was bigger than Jupiter, but, and they all fit, you know, on your science project, thing like this. This helps you see a little bit of the proportion of the size. For instance, the Earth to the sun, but what this doesn't show is the amount of space in between. And so this is a website that is really helpful to help you understand where you are in the solar system. So this is joshworth.com. If the moon were only one pixel, and this may or may not show up for the people on Zoom, I'm not, since I'm having to go outside of this on a hyperlink, we're just going to have to do it as it goes. So this is, just, they can imagine verbally. This website says, if the moon were only one pixel, let me get rid of these things here. A tediously accurate scale model of the solar system. So there's the moon. One pixel. No, it didn't work. All right, let me do this. Yeah, it's only going to be up here. It's not going to be able to be on Zoom. All right, where you are in our solar system. Old dogs do not learn new tricks well. I think I know what I need to do. Wow, it's not going to work. I'm just going to describe it to you. It's not going to be nearly as good.
Sorry.
So go to joshworth.com, and it'll have the moon if it's one pixel. And then you can start scrolling to the side. Scrolling, 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 scrolling. Eventually, you will get, when you're like 58 million kilometers out, eventually you'll get to Mercury, which is a tiny dot about the size of one pixel. And then you'll scroll, scroll, just scroll to the right, scroll to the right, scroll to the right, scroll. And there's lots of jokes in there about, like, you know, lots of nothing out here. You know, I spy something with my little eye. It's black. And you just keep going and going. Eventually, you will get at 108 million kilometers, you'll get to Venus. At 150 million kilometers, you'll get to Earth, which is a little dot. And you'll keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And then you'll finally get to Mars. And that's like 228 million kilometers. And then you just scroll forever before you ever get to Jupiter. At one point it says, we're getting close to Jupiter. And you keep scrolling, 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 scrolling. It says, I lied. And then you just keep going. You finally get to Jupiter. And by the time you get to Jupiter, let's see, then it takes a while before you ever get to Saturn. And I can see those with my telescope, Jupiter and Saturn. And then finally, about halfway through the scrolling, you get out to Uranus. And then finally, you get out to Neptune, and the dwarf that's no longer considered a planet is Pluto out there. And it takes, I think, maybe it's 571 screens before you get from one to the other, and Earth is just a little tiny, tiny dot. And you are, so try that this afternoon if you want to, joshworth.com. But the point of it is, you are a very, very tiny speck among billions of very, very tiny specks riding on a tiny little planet in a gigantic solar system that itself is just a tiny, tiny, tiny speck. So what is man that you are mindful of him? So a reminder for the selfie culture. Objects in mirror may appear more important than they are. And there's an old picture of Narcissus, so infatuated with his image in reflection. But as tiny as you are, is that got it? All right, thanks. But as tiny, tiny as you are in the universe, to someone, you may be the most important speck of all. For example, who is the most important person in the world to Ray? Yeah, yeah. And so Jonathan is now a pretty important person to Ray because he's getting a little bigger. But when Ray was first born, this picture kind of sums it up. Okay, there's Ray. There's the most important person in the world. And there's Jonathan in the background. And the rest of us don't make the picture. Okay? As he's getting older, of course, Jonathan is more and more important to him. And as he gets older, other people will be more important to him. But when you're a mom of an infant, you are everything to that little child. But to remind us of how small and insignificant we are, again, here's a quiz. It's a mom quiz. Knowing how utterly dependent you were upon your mom when you were a baby and how much you still love her and everything else, do you know your mom's name? And for most of us, unless you're an adopter or something, which is a wonderful thing, then you know the mom that is your mom, who is your mother, and you know that name. How could you not if you know whether the person that raised you in adoption or the person that is your biological mother, they're so important to you, how could you not know that person? Question, who is her mother? Well, most of us know that. Oh, I remember Grandma. Okay. Question. Who was her mother? You with me so far? Everybody in here, do you know your mother, either adoptive or biological? Do you know your mother? Yes. Do you know who her mother was? Probably most of us, yes. Do you know her mother? Some of you are nodding yes. Some of you may be wanting to not remembering. Not. How about her mother? Okay, somebody's still on board. Somebody's still on board. But for most of us, this is getting really fuzzy. How about her mother? So some people know all the way back for a ways, but most of us, like for instance, Ray, TJ is his mother, and then TJ's mother is Bertina, then there's Betty Gowan, who was born in 45, and then there's Nanny, who I don't remember her name right now, and then there's Mama, who I met a few times, and I don't know what her name was. But I don't know if Bertina knows who Mama's mother was. Oh, she does. She knows who Mama. All right, so very good. So Bertina gets big points there. But she probably doesn't know her mother. The point is, even when you're the most important person in the world to someone, even to your own descendants, you can quickly end up a tiny speck among billions of other tiny specks riding on a tiny planet in a gigantic solar system that is itself just a tiny, tiny speck. So let us be humbled and feel small, for we are. But, and this is kind of the point of the sermon, other than reminding us of some humility, little does not mean invaluable. It does not mean insignificant. Look back at Psalm 8. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. Septuagint has a little lower than the angels, which is how it's quoted in Hebrews 2. We're not going to take time to get into the Hebrews 2 discussion because that's a different topic, but what is man? Look at this. Why have you even paid attention to us? Yet you have. You have made him a little lower than the angels, Septuagint, crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So little doesn't mean invaluable. Jesus said in Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Matthew 10, aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? That's not valuable livestock. I mean, there's, you know, some livestock is really, really valuable and you have to pay a lot for it. Two sparrows sold for a penny. Yet not one of them, Jesus says, will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And the kingdom itself, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. It's like on the, if you look at that chart, when you see the earth, okay, it's like a little grain of mustard seed. Yet, when it is grown, it becomes larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. And the little things you do, the little things that we little specks do, are important to God, the creator of the universe. That's kind of amazing. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. One of the things that's interesting to me about that is if you go through the Gospels and try to notice how many times Jesus compliments people, it's not a lot. He compliments a Gentile centurion. He compliments this lady and some other people. But it's not a lot. He's teaching, he's sometimes reprimanding, and when he gives compliments, it's often to the people that other people might not. Who else that day would have noticed this little widow and her little two coins? Who noticed it? Jesus noticed it. The Lord noticed it. And it's recorded in Scripture for time immemorial. Because God appreciates little things done by little specks that he loves. Little doesn't mean invaluable also when it comes to God's commands. Nadab and Abihu, they might have thought, well, we left Egypt like we were supposed to. We built a tabernacle like we were supposed to. We're going to offer sacrifice where we're supposed to. Let's not pay attention to how we're, that wasn't a good idea. When we decide something's little, don't do that. Now, absolutely, some commands and some sins are greater than others. Jesus said, those that delivered to you to Pilate, they have the greater sins. Some sins are greater. And some commandments are greater. Love God and love your neighbor yourself. That's the greatest. Everything else hangs on that. Now, the Pharisees, they would get that backwards. And they would make the little things the big things. So he said, you're tithing mint and anise and cumin, and you've left undone faith, justice, mercy. You left undone the weightier things. There are big, big, weighty things. Don't let the little things become more important than the big things. That's what the Pharisees were doing. But it wasn't wrong for them to do little things. In fact, what did Jesus say? He said, you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left undone faith, justice, and mercy. But he says, you ought to have done and not left the other undone. Their mistake is in flipping things around. And Jesus says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Little things make big differences. Do you remember this old saying? This would refer to a time when battles were fought on horseback. And horses need a soldier, and they need horseshoes. And what do horseshoes need? Nails to be affixed. What if you were short one nail? So many of you have heard this. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of a message, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. All for the want of a horseshoe nail. Now, most of the time, a little horseshoe nail is not going to make a difference. But you and I don't know the times that it will. You do good, and oftentimes your neighbor or your friend doesn't pay any attention. You do good, and it doesn't matter. But you don't realize which little time is going to be the time that makes the difference. I found it so interesting. I've been doing this lately in some parenting classes. I did it up in Rhode Island recently, and I asked, we just met with the parents up there, and I asked them, what was something really, really special you remember about growing up? And almost every one of them mentioned some tiny, tiny little thing that was a special thing to them. One person remembered going on a cruise with his father. That's a big thing. But you know why it was special? His parents were divorced, and he didn't get to spend much time with his father. His father won a cruise for two and picked him, so they got to have some dad and son time together. So, of course, that was the big thing for him. But you know what most people remembered? Like sitting in the recliner eating sardines with dad or something like that, or or going and, you know, making cookies with my, or just some little bitty thing. Moms, think of all the things that you do. And sometimes you think, this is going to be big. And that might not be what remembered. But you don't know which little thing will be. Keep doing those little things. So today's takeaway and call for action from my favorite Bible everyday heroes. We're just going to mention, take about 3 minutes to talk about Aquila and Priscilla. They're a fantastic study. One of the reasons I like them is because the Bible has so many heroes that we can learn lessons from and should, but what they did isn't always doesn't always fit us real well. For instance, you're probably not going to see a burning bush and be called to lead a whole nation out of Egypt through the sea. It's probably not going to happen. You're probably not going to be asked to build a boat and save all the animals in the world and repopulate the earth. Probably not going to happen. You know, sometimes Bible heroes were called to do really big things. What I like about Aquila and Priscilla is they weren't kings. They weren't the survivors of the flood. They were just a couple of Christians that are just always doing good. And you see them here and there and there. He was from Pontus, and then they were in Italy. They got kicked out with the other Jews by the emperor, and they ended up in Corinth. Where, what did they do? When Paul got to town, they said, hey, you can stay with us, and you can work with us, which helped Paul. And then when he went to Ephesus, they went with him. And when he left Ephesus, they stayed there, which meant that when Apollos came, who had a lot of ability but lacked in knowledge, they were able to take him aside and explain the word of God more accurately to him. And they were able to recommend him to the church at Corinth. And then he goes and he does great work there in Corinth at the benefit and support of Aquila and Priscilla. And also when Paul writes to them in Asia, he'll talk about the church that is in their house. In Asia, they let the church meet in their house. Later, we see them back in Rome, and he writes to the Romans, and he greets Aquila and Priscilla in the church in their house. Again, they've taken the church in their house, and in between, somehow, they had saved Paul's life. And Paul's final greetings in 2 Timothy 4, in his final greetings, who does he greet first? Greet Prisca and Aquila. Consistently doing little things that are good beats occasionally trying to accomplish something huge. When we look at the moon and the stars and what is man that you have been mindful of us? But he has. And he asks us to do justice, walk humbly, love mercy, love God with all our heart, love our neighbor and ourself. And that involves just doing little things. And don't be ashamed of little things.